Welcome to Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. I'm Kate Burdett. Coming up, Ohio is facing a serious shortage of behavioral health professionals. We'll learn more about an effort to recruit people into this career field. Also, Jay Fox will have a small business update and information on fun in the sun with summertime toys. Plus, Doug Petcash of Face the State will have a look at state politics. First up on Columbus Perspective, Ohio is facing a serious shortage of behavioral health professionals, leaving more than 2.4 million Ohioans without suitable access to care. Director Leanne Cornian with the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services is with us today to talk about the launch of a new recruitment campaign aimed at growing and strengthening the field. Director Cornian, thank you so much for joining us today on Columbus Perspective.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off with the basics. What is behavioral health and what does that encompass?
So behavioral health is a really essential part of our overall health, and it refers to our mental well-being as well as any substance use challenges that a person may have. We know that there are incredibly deep connections to somebody's physical well-being and their mental well-being. And so oftentimes, if our mental well-being isn't strong, our physical well-being isn't either. And unfortunately, about 40% of Ohioans do live with a behavioral health disorder. So it's critically important that we as a state address stigma and really help to promote the mental and physical well-being of all Ohioans.
It absolutely is connected, and we're learning, it seems, more and more every day about the interconnection between mental health and physical health. And so a program like this does seem crucial. There are at least 120 career paths and probably more in behavioral health. Director Cornian, can you highlight some of those career paths?
Absolutely. We have, as you know, a very diverse behavioral health field with so many different career opportunities and at every single level of education. We have everything from psychiatrists to clinical psychologists, social workers, individuals who have lived experience with a behavioral health condition or a loved one who may have struggled with a behavioral health condition. We call those folks certified peer supporters. We have counselors, we have qualified behavioral health specialists. So it really is an incredibly diverse field that is open to so many individuals, whether they have lived experience or just a deep passion for helping people with all kinds of educational backgrounds.
And can you tell us a little more about why we're seeing such a shortage of behavioral health professionals and how the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, as well as the Ohio Department of Higher Education, that is, are addressing these shortages?
Well, under Governor DeWine's leadership, we as a state have really done an incredible job at helping to chip away at some of the stigma that previously may have held people back from seeking out care. Our collective experience as a state during the pandemic, I think, really raised heightened awareness of the need for behavioral health services, mental health services and supports in our state and in our nation. And so what's great, the good news, is that we're seeing more individuals reach out for help. Unfortunately, the supply of our professional behavioral health workforce isn't keeping pace with that demand. In fact, since 2013, we've almost doubled the size of our behavioral health workforce. We've increased it by 174%. But demand for services has doubled the supply. It's increased 350% during that same time period. So as a result, there are about 2.4 million Ohioans who live in communities without access to care.
That's a staggering number. And this is being called the Ohio's Wellness Workforce Campaign. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about this particular campaign and where we will see this messaging.
We are incredibly excited to partner with our friends at the Ohio Department of Higher Education to really lead this multifaceted, multi-channel outreach, which will be on social media, on TV, on radio, as we are now, to really help educate Ohioans about all of the incredible and diverse career pathways that exist in the behavioral health field. help to raise awareness of real Ohioans who are on the front lines doing this work day in and day out to help support their fellow Ohioans who are struggling with a behavioral health condition and really to truly transform lives. We just know that there are people out there of all kinds of backgrounds, of all kinds of walks of life, who want to do something impactful and meaningful. And we really feel like if they knew about the great work happening in Ohio's behavioral health field, they would be inspired and motivated to pursue career pathways in it.
Leanne Cornian is the director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. We're talking today here on Columbus Perspective about the Ohio's Wellness Workforce Campaign, which is getting started to help correct the serious shortage of behavioral health professionals. Here in Ohio, more than 2.4 million residents are without suitable access to behavioral health care. And Director Cornian, I'm wondering if you can tell us a little more about what makes someone eligible to work in this field, whether someone's interested in getting into behavioral health just after graduating from higher education or perhaps making a career switch.
As I mentioned, we have an incredibly diverse field in behavioral health with over 120 different career pathways. And that encompasses everything from individuals who may have a GED or high school diploma, all the way up to individuals who have gone to medical school and, you know, done a residency in psychiatry. So we really have a wealth of opportunities in the behavioral health industry to support those young people coming out of high school, coming out of undergrad, all the way to people who are looking for a career change. Maybe somebody who's really looking for that meaning in life, in their career, that really wants to help transform lives and support individuals who are experiencing some of their, you know, their hardest moments. And so we just want folks to know that there are a lot of opportunities out there if you really want to make a difference and have an impact.
Now, we've been hearing a lot about this lately, and so I have to ask, how could potential impacts to Medicaid funding affect community behavioral health providers and that need for workers?
Well, we know that a significant number of individuals who receive Medicaid are benefiting from access to behavioral health services. And because they're getting those services and supports that they need, they're able to return to work. They're able to support their families. And so under Governor DeWine's leadership, we have really expanded opportunities to receive behavioral health services and supports for children, for adults, individuals with substance use disorder. We've seen a dramatic growth in the number of opioid treatment providers, for example, under the governor's leadership. And so we at the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, in partnership with our colleagues at the Ohio Department of Medicaid, remain laser focused on ensuring that those who need help continue to have access to it. It's why we're so proud to fund programs like Mobile Response and Stabilization Services, which is a new mobile crisis response program for young people ages 20 and under. And families who take advantage of that service for their child who's experiencing a behavioral health crisis will never receive a bill for it, regardless of you know, their insurance type, whether that's Medicaid, whether that's uninsured or privately insured. We want to make sure that there aren't barriers for these critically important life-saving programs so that individuals of all walks of life can continue to get the kinds of behavioral health care that they may need.
And as this demand for behavioral health services continues to outpace the number of professionals in the field here in Ohio, what would you want to say to someone who may be listening right now and considering a new behavioral health career?
Well, if you are interested in making a professional career change, the best time to start is now. And I encourage anyone listening who's contemplating a career in the behavioral health space to check out our website. It's mha.ohio.gov/wellnessworkforce. We have a ton of information. We have videos featuring real behavioral health professionals from Ohio who are talking about the importance of the work that they do every single day.
And just like Director Cornian said, that website is mha.ohio.gov/wellnessworkforce. If you're at all interested, or perhaps you know someone that may be interested in turning this passion into a new career,
Visit that website and get more information. Director Leanne Cornian from the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, this has been a wealth of information. I so appreciate your time today. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to make sure to add?
No, just reiterating that website, maj.ohio.gov/wellnessworkforce, to learn more.
Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you being here on Columbus Perspective.
Thank you.
The Fan.
You're listening to Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's Jay Fox.
Columbus is a small business mecca. Small businesses play a crucial role in boosting the economy and strengthening our lives, our community, also employing 59 million Americans across the country and accounting for nearly half of our national workforce. Despite economic pressure and uncertainty, most small business owners remain resilient and, get this, optimistic. New research from the Capital One Insight Center finds that 89% are confident about future growth, despite more than half saying this has been one challenging year so far. Joining us now on Columbus Perspective, Sheena Ashley. She's the Vice President of Capital One Community Impact and Investment, also President of Capital One Insight Center, and Justin Richardson, who is the CEO of Pacific Transformer. Good morning and welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Morning, Jay.
Your new small business survey uncovers surprising trends. What are some of the biggest takeaways about how entrepreneurs are building resilience today and feeling optimistic?
Yeah, Jay, thank you so much for having us on. You said it right at the top. You know, small business owners are so important to our economy. We want to make sure that we're understanding the things that help those small business owners thrive as they are growing and adapting their business to the changing circumstances. And in our study, we found, as you said, high levels of optimism and adaptability among those business owners who have remained resilient even among economic pressures and uncertainty. These small business owners are excited about opportunities to continue to grow their businesses, even though, as you noted, this has been a pretty hard past year for many of them. But we are seeing signs that these small business owners have figured out ways to adapt, to continue to pivot, even in the face of adversity or uncertainty.
You know, when you think about small business, depending upon what the small business is, whether it's a service or an actual outlet like a restaurant or a retail establishment, there has to be a combination of some type of brick and mortar and some type of digital presence. What digital tools are being seen as the most effective for these small business owners as they look to, you know, save money, cut costs, and navigate these choppy waters, if you will?
Yeah, you got it right, Jay. Our first report, we were looking at all the things that business owners use to remain resilient. And coming out of that study, the majority noted digital tools are the things that are really keeping them afloat and that they turn to help them out. You know, right now, you can't help but be engaged digitally, and small business owners are doing that. The tools that many of them are looking to time and time again that rose to the top of our survey were mobile banking apps, using their business credit cards, which doesn't seem like a digital tool, but it is one of those things that they're looking at digitally and able to move ahead on. In addition to that, accounting software cannot get away from being able to do that accounting and keeping up with that cash flow.
We did a story at our CBS affiliate, WBNS TV 10 here in Columbus last week, about a small business owner who literally financed her entire bakery operation on credit cards and then paid them off over time because she couldn't get a traditional loan. How important are credit cards or access to non-traditional lines of credit for small business owners?
It is very important for small business owners, that access to credit that people are able to turn to, especially when you're able to manage those credit cards. It is an important lifeline for many small business owners. And the benefit of credit cards is that increasingly many of them are coming with credit card rewards that allow for some extra flexibility and benefit to those small business owners. And so we see it as an important part of the capital stack that small business owners can turn to. In addition to lending, we see credit cards and the tools that come with those credit cards in order to be able to manage the spending and the flow as a really useful digital tool for these small business owners.
Justin, you're the CEO of Pacific Transformer. How does this impact you?
Well, I just echo a lot of Sheena's sentiments. I mean, we grew over the last 3 years. We basically doubled in size, and there's no way we would have been able to do that without a lot of the tools that Sheena was talking about. Credit card, absolutely. You know, this is something that I'm keenly aware of when I'm looking at the bank statements every day, and we have our conventional line of credit, but they also want to make sure they see a history of performance prior to increasing that line of credit. So when you're doubling in size in a short span of 3 years, there was a couple times where, you know, that credit cards came in real handy in order to purchase inventory, raw material, a lot of the inputs that we use in order to manufacture the transformers for our customers.
A recent study showed that 22 to 27 year olds make up some of the largest numbers of unemployed people in the United States. Would either one of you recommend to that generation starting their own small business today?
I definitely think so, especially if it feels like a pathway where they have a good idea or can assess a market for a potential thing that they could feel. We've seen entrepreneurship really grow over the last decade, and it's become a choice for many people across the ages around their ability to be able to direct and understand and have a stake in their own performance and ability to grow. And we've seen successful businesses that come out. As you know, Jay, many businesses fail. And so it's not a decision that I take lightly or would just encourage people to do without having a very strong business plan. But there are so many resources that are available to help small business owners be able to figure out if that is a pathway for them. Even though a lot of people are also trying to put their toe into small business ownership while they also have a day job like myself.
Now, that same generation, curiously enough, is the fastest growing generation of home buyers. Would you recommend to them that they wait until they own a property so that they have tangible equity before applying for either a credit card or some kind of small business loan?
I don't think that there's a reason to have to wait for that. If they have the credit history and the ability to be able to move into home ownership, you know, it's incredible to find early adults able to move into home ownership, and they could use that as an increasing pathway in order to help finance through their equity, their ability to start a business.
So what can you spend these credit card rewards on?
We have found, and I'll let Justin speak to some of the experience he's had, but speaking from the survey, we have seen small business owners use these credit card rewards to pay vendors, to address recurring transactions that they have. And Jay, many are using them to recognize their employees and reward those who are toiling day in and day out to make the businesses a success. Justin, do you want to speak to how you've used them?
Yeah, we're lucky. I mean, we have a shop full of employees who have been here for 20, 30. We have a couple gentlemen who are going to be celebrating their 40th anniversary here out back in just the next month or two. And so we really have a family culture here. And so for us, we like to use the rewards in order to reinvest back into our people. It can be something as small as, you know, paying for the Mother's Day brunch, or something as significant as, unfortunately, we have a production manager's family member pass away, and so we wanted to make sure to take care of her and pay for the funeral, right? And so just doing little things like that really re-enhance the culture that we have here and helps us continue to grow as a company.
You don't hear those stories very often, so good for you. I want to read the entire survey. Where can I get it?
Yeah, Jay, I welcome it. I welcome it very much. Please, you can find our survey at the Capital One Insight Center. So look for that in any of your favorite search engines. Again, Capital One Insight Center, and you'll find this study and plenty more.
And we'll also find out what's in our wallet. See what I did there?
Thanks.
For Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
Summer is here, and it's time to break out the toys and have some fun. Toy expert Elizabeth Warner joins us on Columbus Perspective to talk about what's hot right now. Welcome, Beth, Elizabeth, and whatever else you like to be called.
Well, Jay, thank you so much. You know, I grew up in Mansfield, Ohio, and my sisters live in Columbus. I'm very excited to be with you.
Well, this makes this easier then, because you know Central Ohio has lots of lakes, rivers, and parks for outdoor summer activity. So if we're out at Alum Creek or Buckeye Lake, what are we going to see this summer?
Yes, or Mohican, where I grew up. Absolutely. So I've got a variety of great items for you. And we'll start off with Rainbow High. Now, Rainbow High is a line of beautiful dolls, animated show that kids love. And the characters in the show are at an elite visual art school. So the dolls are all dressed with high fashions, lots of colors, representing every color under the rainbow. But the kids just love when they play with these dolls. They imagine, they inspire creativity, there's storytelling. So a couple of new lines, the My Fashion Dolls, which are four new beautiful trend-setting characters that the kids are going to love. But I love the Rainbow High Littles Pool Day. This is a set that comes with a pool that your kids are going to bring to the pool with them, to the lake with them. They're going to fill up the little pool, and it comes with a doll. She's really adorable. They're going to absolutely love her. Her name is Blush. She's the little sister of one of the characters in the show. She's going to be able to play in the pool, go down the slide. It comes with a floaty. It comes with drinks, cute little bathing suit. This is one of those items that I know when my kids were little, we'd go to the pool and you'd pack up like in a little Ziploc bag and bring them a few things, you know, the Hot Wheels cars. This is one of those items they're going to be able to bring with them wherever you go and have a fun time playing while being outside.
Now, it's hot and humid out, and we just got through with excessive heat. What can we do to get the kids and the adults off the couch, out of the house, and active this summer?
Yes, yes, yes. So as a mom of four, hallelujah, on the outside and off the couch, a Nerf Super Soaker is the answer to everything. They've been around for 35 years, but here's the cool thing. You're going to bring this one to the lake, to the pool, because the Nerf Super Soaker Mega Dunk has a tank in it that instantly fills by just submerging it in water. So no longer do the kids have to run in and out of the house to the kitchen sink with the dirty shoes. Now at the lake, at the pool, they just submerge the tank. It fills with water, and you're ready to have that super soaker fun again. It gets them up, active, running around. And I tell parents all the time, this is how you keep kids young. Keep toys like this around that are cool, that are fun, and they're still going to play. They're going to put down those electronics for sure.
Well, and I think that applies to adults too, because a super soaker knows no age. What does a super soaker cost these days, Elizabeth?
Well, you're not going to believe it. This Super Soaker, which is ginormous and so fun, $14.99. You know that's probably what you and I paid 35 years ago. So really, Hasbro, Nerf, they're really working hard to keep prices down right now for all of us. They know how important that is.
Now, we know that sometimes it's too hot to be safely outdoors. What can we do inside that doesn't involve the television, video games, or those cell phones?
Okay, love that question. Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, if the kids want to unwind and relax and just, you know, take a rest maybe, they're going to squish up with their favorite plush stuffed animal, Squishmallows. They're number one. If you have kids or grandkids, you know what Squishmallows are. But here's what's cool. The same company has developed a construction line called Builder. B-L-D-R is how it's spelled. They've taken all the kids' favorite characters, licensed characters, everything that they love, and they've turned them into building tools. toys. They're construction toys that will bricks that work with all of the other construction bricks that you have at home. They're all compatible, but they can even build their favorite Squishmallows now. So this is something really to look for. If you look up BLDR, no matter what age your child, they have unbelievable, amazing building sets. So keep your eyes out for those, and we're going to see lots of them throughout the year.
In Central Ohio, as you know, we can see nice weather into November and perhaps even into December. So what activities for summer translate beyond Labor Day?
Yes. Okay. So there's one item that I found that I love that's going to be outdoors in the pool. It's also going to be indoors in the bathtub. It's called Rainbow Reef. It's brought to us by Swimways. Swimways is a company that brings us a lot of fun stuff for in the water and just around outside of the water. Well, these are fish. They're tropical fish that look like they've come straight from a reef in Australia. They're about 6 inches long, a couple inches wide, a couple inches tall. But when you drop them in the water, they instantly turn on and begin to swim. So the kids are going to chase them. They're going to swim after them. Look, you and I, all we had were those diving sticks. I mean, you know, that was cool to us. They throw the diving stick in, maybe a quarter, right? These are actual fish that the kids are going to jump in and swim around with. Now, when it is not summertime and we're moving indoors, or summertime and it's storming, because we know those Ohio storms, you can bring these in, have the kids play with them in the tub. You can set up a fish tank and put these in a fish tank. The kids will have a blast with them. So this is something to look for. These are $14.99. They're great for kids ages 5 and up. But I have to say, the parents are equally as mesmerized by these.
I think I just found something for my cat to do.
There you go. There's a whole nother thing right there.
There you go. If listeners want to learn more or maybe see videos of activities in action, what do you recommend they go to?
Yes, so you can go to our website, which is WernerInfo.com, or follow me on Elizabeth Werner TV on social media. I'm always here to answer any questions, so always feel free to reach out.
Fish that swim around on their own in the lake, in the bathtub, and super soakers that automatically refill. We have learned a lot today. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Happy summer.
Happy summer. For Columbus Perspective, I'm Jay Fox.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Now, courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10 TV, here's Doug Petcash from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10 TV.
On its website, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources says its mission is to ensure a balance between the wise use and protection of our natural resources for the benefit of all. The most visible and visited aspect of the ODNR is Ohio's 76 state parks, Great Council State Park being the newest one, dedicated just last year. And it's fitting because the state park system is now officially 76 years old. Are you one of the millions who enjoy the parks every year for swimming, hiking, boating, camping, bird watching, and so many other fun outdoor activities?
And boy, are the parks popular. In 2024, the state parks had a record-breaking 1.1 million overnight stays in campgrounds, cabins, and lodges. Those visitors spent more than $392 million on retail, food, entertainment, lodging, and transportation. And the state is working to make our parks better and more accessible. Right now, ODNR is focusing on building and opening new visitor centers, welcome centers, and nature centers. They consider them hubs for people to begin their journeys. At least 9 have opened recently or will open soon in places including Salt Fork State Park, Put-In Bay, Mohican State Park, and Clifton Gorge Nature Preserve. The state is also focusing on conservation, with nearly 200 wetland restoration projects covering 19,000 acres of water purifying ground, and an effort to restore Ohio's eagle population. It also comes at a time when the state has approved oil and gas drilling under Salt Fork State Park and 2 wildlife areas. So, what is the state doing to protect those areas from any environmental harm?
And of course, we have to mention that admission to the state parks is free. Here to talk about it all is Ohio Department of Natural Resources Director Mary Mertz. Director Mertz, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Excited to share some information about
our parks. I'm so glad to have you here. So, you know, I talked about the mission of the ODNR. How do you view it?
So, I mean, Ohio has amazing, beautiful outdoor places, and we want to connect people with those places so they understand them, appreciate them, and they become part of our mission of protecting them. So, you know, we're excited to get people outside.
So why is there so much focus right now on opening, like, the welcome centers, the visitor centers, the nature centers? There are a lot of projects that haven't just wrapped up or are still ongoing.
Yeah, so we are blessed, I think. Governor DeWine is committed and stands behind the state park system. He thinks it's one of the most important ways we can provide affordable, cost-free, fun, interesting, educating times for kids across the state. So he's been a big supporter, and the General Assembly has been very supportive in our capital bills. And so all of that is coming to fruition right now. And we are able to open a number of visitor centers and welcome centers across the state to help people feel welcome in our state parks and know what to do when they get there.
And I was talking with your communications director the other day, and he said it's you know, an idea that those new welcome centers, visitor centers, are hubs where people can begin their journey in exploring these areas. Is that the way
you
see it?
Absolutely. I mean, we have these beautiful places, but to make them accessible, there's a lot of things we need to do. We want people to feel welcome. We want them to arrive and be able to drive in on a decent road and find a parking space and go in these visitor centers to learn what they can do while they're there. Where are the hiking trails? Where are the beaches? What can they do safely? Make them feel a little bit more comfortable so they can touch that adventurous streak that everybody has.
I understand you're also working to improve accessibility in the parks, right? Whether that's accessibility to trails, kayaking launches, playgrounds.
Right. So, I mean, accessibility means a lot of different things. I mean, we need accessibility for the entire population to get to and appreciate our parks, but also for people of different abilities. Mm-hmm. So we have put a big investment, and we actually have a map which will show you all of the accessible trails and accessible playgrounds. We just opened a couple of playgrounds that I'm really proud of. So we partnered with the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were our primary donor for a beautiful, inclusive playground just north of town here up at Delaware Lake State Park. So that's a fantastic place. And then down near Athens, we just opened a beautiful, inclusive playground and accessible kayak launch at Stroud's Run State Park. And that was also done with private donations. So they're fantastic places that everybody can enjoy.
I know that one of your other pillars of focus for the ODNR is in conservation. And one of the most visible things is the bald eagles. You know, we're seeing the population, I believe, increasing with those. Can you tell us about the efforts the state is undertaking to boost up the eagle population?
Absolutely. So back in the 70s, you know, our records show that there were only 4 nesting pairs in Ohio. And ever since then, there have been very, very targeted and focused conservation efforts, working with lots of partners around the state to bring that population back through a variety of measures, including some reintroduction efforts, some changes in practices. And so this year, what our census showed is 964 nesting pairs. I mean, that's dramatic.
And From four to 964?
4 to 964. And I think what it shows is when you focus and you try to employ conservation techniques, they work.
And is it just like, you know, setting aside areas, like keeping them a little bit off limits so that the birds feel comfortable to nest there? And what is actually being done?
So a couple of things. One was no longer the use of DEET on a broad level. So that made a significant difference right off the bat. But it is conservation, having the habitat. And so Ohio is a place that doesn't have a lot of public land, but we have We make good use of every acre of public land that we have. So having those habitat areas is also key. So a lot of these eagles you'll find along our waterways, along Lake Erie, along the Ohio River, along any of our rivers and streams is where you're going to find them. So protecting that habitat
is a very
key.
Popular pair of nesting eagles, yeah. Right outside the station on Riverside that people are out there taking pictures of every day. It's good to see them flying around and actually getting a chance to see them in the wild. Going forward now, as we wrap this up, and what is the focus of ODNR in terms of the state parks and maybe the new initiatives going forward? Yeah. What are you looking at for down the road?
Yeah, so I am really excited. Like I told you, this year, a lot of our infrastructure projects will come to fruition. So next week, up at South Bass Island, we reopen a historic fish hatchery that the public will get to visit and learn about the history of fish stocking and maybe try a little fishing off the pier. The following week, we open a welcome center up at Mohican State Park. A lot of people are familiar with that park. Very popular.
ODNR Director Mary Mertz, thank you so much for your time. I'm trying to hit as many state parks as I can. So
great.
And they're beautiful. Thank you so much.
Columbus Perspective is a public affairs presentation of WBNS Radio. The opinions expressed on this program are those of its guests and do not necessarily reflect those of WBNS Radio, its staff, management, or sponsors.
The Fan.
This is Columbus Perspective on The Fan. Here's more from Face the State, courtesy of 10TV.
The city of Columbus and people who live here are reacting to comments Vice President J.D. Vance made about the safety of the city. The vice president shared his thoughts during a recent stop in Canton. The Ohio native named Columbus as one city where people may not feel safe.
How many of you all have wanted to go to downtown Akron or downtown Canton or downtown Columbus for a meal, but you're worried because the local authorities in these big cities have allowed lawlessness to run wild? We have got to make great American cities safe again for families and children.
The mayor's office responded to the vice president's comments by saying crime is down in the city. We also hit the streets to see how people feel about the safety of their city. So you work down here and you spend some time down here. Do you feel safe when you're in downtown Columbus?
Yeah, I've never had an issue personally.
That's the overall sense we got from people we talked to downtown Wednesday around lunchtime. Zaniah Taylor and Blake Moore work at Gallery by CFA clothing store on High Street during the day and enjoy the restaurants and nightlife of the Short North.
Oh, I've been spending time out here since I was a teenager, since I was a young man, and yeah, I've never really felt unsafe just walking down the street.
It's a lot of fun. It's really beautiful, too. Like, there's a lot of art and stuff around here, so there's a lot of stuff to do, too.
Mark Magno is visiting from New Jersey.
I feel super safe, and honestly, I never felt any sort of sketchiness or anything. Everyone's been welcoming.
In response to the vice president's comment, Mayor Andrew Ginther's deputy chief of staff, Jennifer Fenning, said Columbus is experiencing a more than 12-year low in homicides and felonious assault. She goes on to say that's thanks to Mayor Ginther's investments in public safety and remarkable police work by Columbus Police. The city has spent tens of millions of dollars since 2021 in an effort to end youth violence, an issue 10TV's Kevin Landers asked the mayor about earlier this month.
Is this money really making a difference in trying
to curb? Well, I would just take a look at the numbers, Kevin. I mean, this is the lowest amount of homicides and non-fatal shootings we've had in 13 years.
Violent crime and homicides in Columbus are way down this year. Felony assault cases are nearly half of what they were 2 years ago. The city is also seeing its lowest number of homicides on record going back to 2013. Violent incidents have happened. After a shooting in the Short North injured 10 people in June of 2024, the city added security measures in the area, including putting more officers on patrol in uniform and in plain clothes. Zaniah Taylor acknowledges there have been incidents, but feels safe partly because of the police presence.
It's a good area to come and like get a meal, hang out with friends. It's not anything too serious. And there are cops around here on a regular basis. So
yeah, I do see a lot of police out, but yeah, I say the presence is pretty strong around here, especially in the Short North.
Of course, a couple people we talked to say they feel safer during the day than at night, but overall feel comfortable going downtown and say the people of Columbus are very friendly.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno is once again criticizing Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell after the Fed decided Wednesday to hold its benchmark interest rate unchanged. The decision continues the Fed's wait-and-see strategy as it watches the impact of the Trump tariffs on consumer prices. CBS News reports President Trump has pressured Powell to lower rates, arguing inflation remains relatively tame. Two voting members of the Federal Open Market Committee voted in favor of lowering the interest rate, a rare show of dissent at the Fed. Senator Marino has been an outspoken critic of Powell's, also urging him to lower rates and calling for his resignation. I asked Marino this week about the Fed's decision to hold rates steady.
It's outrageous. Look, the numbers are the numbers. Inflation's down, lowest point in 4 or 5 years. There's no indication at all that we're going to see inflation. He has all the reasons why they should lower it. And for the first time in almost four decades, two Fed governors publicly repudiated Chairman Powell. That is totally against Fed tradition.
Senator Marino says he prefers that Powell would resign, but believes President Trump has the legal authority to fire him. Now an update on a story we've been following. Ohio Equal Rights has decided to move forward with two separate constitutional amendments. The group will now have to collect more than 400,000 valid voter signatures to get each of the proposed measures on a future ballot for voters to decide. On July 9th, the Ohio Ballot Board voted 3-2 along party lines to split the group's proposal into two separate amendments. The original proposal would have prohibited discrimination based on race, religion, sexual orientation, disability, and a dozen other categories. The proposed amendment also called for the repeal of Ohio's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. The Ohio Ballot Board ruled those are two separate topics. Therefore, two separate amendments to be put on a ballot. In a news release, executive co-chair of Ohio Equal Rights, Lise Regula, said it could take months, if not years, to appeal the decision in court. Moving forward, even though it is double the signatures and paperwork, it is the best shot we have at securing equality for every Ohioan in a timely manner.
Again, that's courtesy of our sister station, WBNS 10TV, from the Sunday morning public affairs program, Face the State. A new edition can be seen this morning at 11:30 on 10TV. This has been Columbus Perspective, a weekly public affairs presentation of The Fan. Heard each Sunday morning at 6 on WBNS FM 97.1 The Fan and on 1460 AM ESPN Columbus.